And good morning, church. I hope that you are doing well, and I ask you to turn with me, please, into the book of Isaiah and chapter number 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, I want to thank the pastor and the elders for the opportunity to stand here and to preach the gospel. And our brother Ben, he read in Isaiah 30 from verse number 1 through 11. But I want to pick up at verse number 9 and 10. And bring our message from verse number 10. Prophesy and speak. But before I read, if you join with me, please, in prayer. Our Father, as we come unto thee, as we approach your throne of grace and of glory, as we ask your permission that you would grant us to speak. You speak this gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. May our tongues be clear, our hearts be open, and our minds established in this gospel of Christ. Our Father, we ask you to turn our hearts, to break up the hard heart and the stubborn ground, and turn our hearts unto yourself. For Jesus' sake, you enable us to keep your way. Amen. In verse number 10, it says, or verse number 9, rather, that this is a rebellious people. He's talking about the nation of Israel and us who have no faith. Lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say, this is what they do by their actions and by their deeds, who say to the seers, the preachers of the gospel, do not see. I don't want to see what the Bible says. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. I do not want to hear the gospel of God's grace. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy to peace. Prophesy to peace. This prophesying of the peace is when we turn from the gospel of God's grace in our Lord Jesus Christ to hear a message that's not from the Bible, and to conduct ourselves in a way that's not in accordance with the faith of the gospel. As you see, the just shall live by faith. That means that you and I are to believe God. His imputed righteousness that comes unto us just by believing. And that you and I are to live by faith, and we are to live unto the glory of the blessed God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And any other course of life than faith is rebellion against the eternal God. What the Israelites were doing in this passage is that God was bringing his chastisement and his affliction. But rather than going back up to God in repentance and faith and cleansing and the changing of our ways and the walking with him being led by the hand, What the people did instead is they ran to Egypt to get help from the Egyptians. It was a place that the Lord God had already brought them out of, this place of unbelief, this place of bondage, this place of really dabbling in sin. And he's telling us that we cannot go back there, that we cannot live by our own strength. We can't live our life our own way. We cannot just be doing things how we think that we ought to do it and not face the oppression of an Almighty God. Because the strength of man is vain. And our own ability to fight God is non-existent. So we really have to buckle down and we have to bow down unto God's way, which is by faith in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to live by faith. If you open, please, in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 13, here's some wisdom from Solomon and the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 15. The scripture says that good understanding, it gains favor or it gives favor. It can be translated any either way. He's saying that if a man truly, truly understands the gospel of the grace of God that's in Jesus Christ, the pattern, the testimony has already been given unto us of the forgiveness of sins. He is really no longer trying to earn his righteousness. He's not trying to earn acceptance with God. As I go around to different places preaching in north and south of Nigeria, I've been to many, many places. Over 200 churches probably. But I used to ask this question constantly, at least 100 times. How is a man made righteous with God? And I think I might have got one right answer. It's by faith. It's not by striving. It's not by being a missionary. It's not by Bible reading. A man is made righteous, a woman, a child is made righteous in the sight of a just and holy God simply by trusting in Jesus Christ. What his blood did at the cross was enough to pay the penalty of the elect. And to believe on him is to confess that I have been chosen by God because I believe the gospel, which is what he gives to all of his children. Faith is the gift of God. And so when a man truly understands his peace with God is in the blood he shed, he stops striving. He stops trying to climb up to heaven on a rope of sand. And in relying upon Jesus Christ's perfection and peace inside of his soul, a good understanding, it gains favor. And then, as to when you and I learn that by our own strength we shall not prevail, that I don't have the moral integrity to live my life in my own power. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, he had to pray all night and rise early in the morning because he lived dependent on the power of the eternal God. Prayer is not merely the mouthing of doctrine, it's a heart connecting to God to obtain the strength I need because I'm helpless. I was preaching last week in O'Reilly, and it was a good meeting. But there are people, and you see it in their countenance as you talk about a true child of God being totally undependent upon God, and in this flesh dwells no good thing. And they get uncomfortable, and they get angry, because they think that because they're the pastor's wife, or the missionary, or been coming to church, and they're doing better, and they don't drink and smoke, that they got some kind of improved flesh. But we don't. We don't. Sinners to the core in this nature, until the day I breathe my last breath, I'm dependent on somebody else. There's no power in any man. But if we come to grips with that, and we come to him empty and in desperate need, I'll do wickedly if you don't help me. There's help. A good understanding. It gets favor from the Almighty. There's no warfare with God. It's over. And you're at peace with a gracious master who gives unto the poor and needy. And we got to understand that our way won't prosper. If nobody else sees the secret motive of my heart, it's open before God. He sees me as I am. And if I'm trying to get my glory, if I'm preaching for me, the Almighty God has gone out the window. There's no glory being given back for what Christ is doing in your life. We got to be broken. Made submissive. Made willing to do the will of the Almighty by the power of the Holy Spirit. To live for the glory of the blessed God. To bring his name, honor, and praise, and thanksgiving with our life. That's the only way to live. Everything else he will oppress or destroy. It's in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2. I will actually, if you wait. Let me read the rest of that verse in the book of Proverbs. It's a good understanding. It gives favor. It gains favor. It has the power of the Holy Spirit. It has a clean conscience. It's forgiven. It tastes the love of God. Just like Martin Lloyd-Jones says, he's most astonished by God's patience. Isn't he patient with you as you pour out yourself? I wish we could understand that. But the way of the unfaithful is hard. It's oppressed by God. And this word unfaithful means treacherous. And it's the treacherous. If I'm treacherous, it actually means I'm untrustworthy. But this treachery is calling God untrustworthy. He's not worthy of my faith. Of our obedience, our love, our sacrifice. And the Bible says it's hard. This word hard means it's never going to change. So like you got, you know, it's a hard pulpit. It's going to be here. It ain't going to break. It isn't made of glass. But the way of the transgressor is hard like a stone, because God is going to murder you. It's not murder. He's going to kill you in hell with everlasting fury and damnation. He's going to pour out eternal judgment on the sinner who doesn't trust his son and live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure. This This is life and eternal death that's on the line. It's so hard. And to be oppressed by God, and to be burdened by God, hated by God, afflicted by God, chastened by God in His love. It's a hard life. Have you been there? I've been oppressed by the Almighty. And you know why I used to think hard thoughts of my Maker? Because of unbelief in me. But when I found out that He's merciful, and that unto the weak He's strength. That particular passage in the book of Isaiah, I'm just going to quote it. It's in chapter number 40 and verse number 29. And my heart just breaks for men and women who have refused to hear the hard life, the hard eternity. But it says in Isaiah 40, verse 29, that He gives power unto the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. And I was up in my mind, I used to think that, oh, if I get weak, He's my power source. But that is rebellion. I am weak, and He's my power source. And if we admit it all the time, if we're conscious of it all the time, He'll be our constant power source. I don't have to run myself into the ground and then say, okay, Lord, I'm weak. I'm weak. By the time I get up, I'm weak. If I don't get the strength of the Spirit, I can't honor my Master. It may look good on the outside, but in my mind, it's sin. It's a hard life. Examine yourself. And be small. Nothing. And obtain everything just by mercy all the time. And live for Jesus Christ. No compromising with anything ever. Because it's so hard. A life lived to please men is so hard. But if we only obey God, how sweet is life? No, we don't budge on anything in the Bible, not a word of it. Because we're scared of God. Because really, you can't take Him out of my heart. But if I obey my flesh, if I listen unto men, if I sin against my Master, I lose His peace. And life's not worth living. Isn't that right? It's not worth living. He was telling Israel, look, y'all want something other than me. In truth and in the Spirit. And you can't have it for the cross. But the book, please, of Philippians in chapter 2. And I hope I'm not being a distraction in my mannerisms, and you can hear the message. In Philippians 2, uh, I'm really ashamed at how long it took me to learn this lesson. With an old preacher named Henry Mahan, and he preached one of the three best sermons I've ever heard in my life. He spared not his son. And the other two are by his mentor, who's a man named Ralph Bonner, that actually died a year before I was born, but I've heard the tapes. And I was in Mahan's home on occasion in Kentucky, a very gifted preacher of the gospel and evangelistic pastor. And when we were first starting out as a church, I had been preaching in the Spirit, but I took my eyes off Christ. And I wrote Pastor Mahan and I said, look, if we have a group here that we want to hear the gospel, and I want you to send us a man to preach so that the people can choose their pastor according unto the will of God. And he wrote me back and he said that he's in prayer and he was willing to help us in the way that he can. But then I wrote him back after he wrote me back, and I said, the people have chosen me as their pastor. And you know what he wrote me back? In Philippians 2, verse number 21. For all seek their own. Their own name, their own fame, their own honor, their own glory, to be the Reformed Church in Nigeria, and to be the big Pope of Nigeria, a kingdom that is so tiny. It's in our nature of men and to seek us to be great. As an unbeliever, if you listen, hear me now. I wanted to be a great athlete and a great man. And then we hear the gospel and we really believe it. We're born again. But we still have that flesh that says, I want to be a great preacher. The next Charles Spurgeon. And I want to have my name known, and we're preaching the true gospel for ourselves. That's what Paul is rebuking. All seek their own stuff and use the name of Jesus in order to get it. Not the things which are of Christ Jesus. What a cut to the core. He stripped me naked from a few thousand miles away just by an email. But it took me so long to learn it until it was obvious. I was in this thing for myself. Verse 22, and that will never work. It may get a big church, but the people are going to be looking at the preacher instead of Jesus. And when he meets them at the judgment, he'll have to look and say, I wasted my life. Verse 22, though, but you know his proven character. Now he's talking about Timothy, who he had actually singled out as this one man who was truly selfless in the gospel. Not only was his message pure, his motivation, his heart, his character, his insights were clean as a whistle by the Holy Spirit of God. Timothy was the kind of man to fall down on his face and say, purify my nasty heart and make me love you in purity. And he got the grace. He had a good understanding of himself, his needs.
He didn't want lies or something else. He wanted the true gospel.
In his heart, in his mind, in his life. The real deal. So I know his proven character. I know that Timothy's not in this for himself. He's not smiling at the pastor just because he wants a position. As I realize that the majority of people who call me to preach with these invitations think that because I'm from the U.S., that the money is coming their way. And it might in some measure. But I look for men who don't want anything from me. They want God. To give him glory. And they don't have to smile in my face because the exaltation's from above. He moves a man's heart. He opens up the heavens. He rules the universe. He wants you to have it. He can give it. He doesn't need America to bless somebody. He's the Almighty God, the everlasting Father. The goodness of God is in Jesus Christ for the sinner who says, give me mercy instead of what I deserve for Jesus' sake. Provide for me. Take care of me. I only want to honor you. Help me. Don't you think he cares for you? At least have enough grace to die hungry unto his blessed glory and be in paradise? Do we believe our master? Or are we looking at men for praise and applause? There's something so much sweeter than the praise of men. Peace with God. Being useful. Sincere. It's got to come from inside here. Because he sees us as if we're reading on the Monday newspaper on Tuesday. Our hearts are open to him. But even Paul said, as he looked at Timothy's character, not just his doctrine or his gift, what kind of a person is he? Who is he? That as a son with his father. Now, Timothy was not Paul's actual son in the flesh, obviously. And Timothy was already saved in Acts chapter 16 by the time he met Paul. But what he's saying is that Paul, he walked according unto the gospel like no man alive is walking. And Timothy said, aha. I don't want his name. I don't want his title. I don't want to be praised. I want to be like Paul and give the honor to whom it's due. Because he saw Jesus himself. He obtained salvation free of charge. He's the worst person he's ever met. And God's in his heart with power over sin. It's a gospel. Of a poor sinner and a merciful Lord. That will kiss you with his mouth. so patient and kind. So forgiving. God is love. And my pastor, I should have had my handkerchief up here. He created us in Christ Jesus. It's for His glory, but it's to have somebody to love. You've been in love. You're in love. You love your wife. You love your children. The joy of just loving somebody. And through Christ, that's what it does. And Timothy understood it. And he said, I want to act like that too. Let this mind be in us that was in Christ who humbled himself. Even though he's the eternal God and took upon himself the form of a servant, and God is called him. So Timothy, just like Paul, he wanted to serve in the gospel. Not just to give you my life, my actions, my deeds, as the Apostle Paul would say elsewhere, but to pour out my very heart and soul and life for you to see the King of glory and live for Him and praise Him with sincerity yourself, because that's our mission, not to get anybody's attention on us, but everybody, all eyes on Christ. Everybody seeing the King, everybody seeing His praises, everybody speaking with Him, seeing His love, testifying, helping one another, kindness, gentleness, and we're growing. And hard people are opportunity for us to grow as Christians in how we love, how we show patience, how we help them up instead of condemning them. That's why I love to preach under prostitutes and harlots. At the church on Thursday night, I don't know if you noticed, but in came some harlots, some obvious whores, prostitutes. They came in for some reason and sat down. I couldn't wait to get myself a tract and go talk to her about Jesus Christ. Half intoxicated, Jesus Christ. Because I'm a sinner that obtained mercy and obtains it every day. And that's why we serve. And it's not for show. It's not for praise. It's not for anybody else's applause. And that's why it can't be stopped by anything that any human does. It's from the heart. And if this church is like that, it can't be stopped. It's filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God. And if it be 5 or 10, it's an unstoppable congregation. It's a mighty force. It's a conquering group of people with God. But everything else is worthless. It'll fade away. But you know His proven character, that as a son with His Father, He served with me in the gospel. He preached so others could see Jesus Christ. He lived that others would know God. He was not trying to be more righteous than the other people and to have anybody say, wow, He's so good. He wanted eyes on Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, my brothers, my sisters, as you know in measure, as I know in measure, that's the good life. And we can have it by faith in the Son of God. He'll give it. He'll change us. He'll improve us. He'll correct us. He'll expose our faults, our weaknesses, our sins, in order to cleanse us and clean us up and forgive them and straighten us out and to make us walk even more uprightly. He won't condemn us. Though we deserve it on every course, but because Christ died. And he loved us with an everlasting love. Let's go back into our text in Isaiah chapter number 30. Verse number 10, and I'll be done. I'll make an exhortation as I read and after my reading text. I want to appeal unto you even more, so I want to yearn over you. I want to call you unto Jesus Christ now. Here's their problem. Who say to the seers, I don't want to hear that gospel. Don't speak. Don't talk to me about spiritual things. I want to hear about money. I want to hear about my life. I want to hear about me. I want to hear about my blessings. I want to hear about my portion. I want to hear about my future. Me, me, me. That's what they're preaching. Me, me, me. The pastor is telling people about themselves, and he gets the loudest amen. Because they want to hear about themselves instead of Jesus Christ and the will of an almighty God. They don't want a kingdom that's not of this world. They despise that fact. They want to be blessed with money, sex, and power. They want it all right now. And the hereafter is this talk. That's why there's no sacrifice. And the last thing the average pastor in the south of Nigeria is even thinking about doing is to die and suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's part and parcel with the call of the gospel. I don't have to go somewhere to be a missionary, but my life belongs unto my Maker. All of this to the last breath, because I owe him a debt of gratitude. Thanksgiving. Aren't you happy? That's what makes you sacrifice. You're too happy to hold back your life. He's been too good to you. I wish we could believe it. More so, more so. And to the prophets, here's what they say. Don't you preach that gospel. Don't you point me to Jesus Christ. Don't expose my sin. Don't rebuke my heart. Just tell me I know all 5 points of Calvinism. Everything's okay with me. Tell me that, Pastor. Tell me about imputed righteousness, but don't talk to me about sanctification and holiness of life. I do not want to hear it. I want to hear my gospel and make a God after my own image who serves me. I don't want to serve him. Oh, let me have just a little bit of my own righteousness. It can't be Christ all the time. Don't you know how good I am and how hard I've been trying and how I don't do the things I used to do? I'm just so much better and I ain't like them. I ain't like that. I don't believe that no more. I don't act like that. No! I'm coming at you with the gospel. Like it or not, we come in with the gospel in this flesh. We're going to preach it every chance we get. Until the death, until they pull the tongue out of our mouth, it will be Jesus Christ and his glory alone. No flesh will glory in his presence. Nobody. Not mine, yours, anybody else's. Nobody's flesh. I don't care who you are. The pastor, the pope, the missionary, the preacher's wife, the preacher, the people, Jesus Christ alone exalted in the house of God. That's peace. That's fellowship. That's being brothers. He's exalting Christ. That's my brother. And I forgive his fault as I got mine, and I want to help him as he helps me. In brethren, not in competition. Over who can be greater. So I'm going to step on his back in order to get just a little bit higher. We got a gospel to preach that comes from God to save our soul, our everlasting and eternal soul. Don't prophesy unto us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Oh, I want to hear you talk about me, Pastor. Oh, how good my life is going to be. Oh, I want you to promise me something for coming to Christ. I don't promise you anything but Jesus Christ. I don't promise you anything in this world, not an ounce of help. Not one more naira in your bank account ever is promised in the Word of God. Our next breath is not promised in this Bible. I promise you nothing but Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Everlasting hope, everlasting righteousness, peace with God Himself. And whatever He chooses to give, if it's a lot or if it's nothing, glory to His name. Are you only going to praise God if He gives you money? Hasn't He done enough already? He gave His life, His own Son. He pulled His Son out of His bosom and He died for me and you. He punished Him for us. Isn't that enough? An everlasting paradise, isn't that enough? And peace with God Almighty Himself, right? That's the gospel. And it can be had by anybody in this building. Any sinner who trusts in Jesus Christ. Stretch forth your hands to Him. Utter Him. Look to Him. Believe on Him. Right now. Not yourself. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your righteousness. Don't trust your strength. Don't trust your ability to please God, please. Not ourselves. Not if I'm good enough. Not if I'm strong enough. I'm nothing, but He's able. Trust His sweet and precious promises. And in confusion, as to when our life is out of order, if there be some bickering in the marriage, if there be some dishonoring towards the father, if there be some oppression of the children, then you look up and say, God help. If there be some stinginess in our soul and unwillingness unto give, if I have impatience, if I'm rude in my attitude, instead of blaming the other person and saying it's her fault, how about me look at myself and say, am I patient like Christ is unto me? I got a long way to go. But I'm going to keep going. Because I found Him patient and kind. I found Him unto be merciful and gracious. I found Him to be full of compassion and pity. But He only goes one way. That's the truth of the gospel. Inside and out. And we got to follow Him by faith. It was only one time, and I'm wrapping up. In all of the New Testament of the four Gospels, there was only one time that our Lord Jesus Christ followed anybody. Is when a man came to Him and said, my daughter is at the point of death. And this man was the ruler of the synagogue. Big religious guy. But he humbled himself because of his great need. And God Almighty in human flesh came and walked behind him and followed him. If you got need, my brother, he'll be with you. got need, my sister. You're walking. If you got any need, He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He will tag me up. He'll sweeten your life. He'll take the oppression off your mind. He'll change your course. He'll cleanse your ways. He'll change your heart. He'll bring forth fruit out of you. He'll take away the eternal death and judgment and damnation that is threatening you right now of the wrath of God. He'll take it away. And He'll walk with you and me as a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our grief to bear. Oh, what peace we forsake because we don't take it unto Him in prayer. And the Lord bless you. And the Lord be with you.